episode one of our podcast series on FASICS Reg IM. I'm Christine Long, Senior Counsel on the Derivatives and Trading Team here at McFarlane's. I'm joined by Will Sykes, Partner and Head of the Derivatives and Trading Team, and Alex Coyne, Senior Counsel, also on our Derivatives and Trading Team. We're going to be discussing margin rules for uncleared derivatives, and more specifically, phase six of the rules on initial margin. This is episode one in a two-part series. As with all things derivatives, this area can be technical and could even be accused of being a little bit dry. So we thought we'd break it up into two episodes, which are hopefully a bit more bite-size. In this first episode, we're going to cover the background to the initial margin rules and how to identify if you're caught by phase six. And in the next episode, we're going to look more closely at the documentation involved and what custody arrangements need to be set up. For anyone who wants to find out more, we've also written a more detailed note, which is available on the McFarlane's website. So, turning first to Will, first of all, welcome. Please, could you explain to us what is IM?
Hello. Initial margin is a type of margin posted by counterparties in derivatives transactions. Margin being cash or securities that are posted by one party to another, to mitigate its credit risk. Initial margin specifically covers current and potential future exposure during the period between the last margin collection and closeout if a counterparty defaults. And it can be contrasted with variation margin, or VM, which covers exposure to movement in the value of a counterparty's position or changes the value of collateral already posted. To put it another way, the variation margin received by a party represents the amount that party would receive, in theory, if its counterparty defaulted and the values of the trades hadn't moved since the last time the margin was collected. So if a trade was worth £1 million and £1 million is what the parties would have to pay on default, then the variation margin called for would be £1 million. Markets, of course, move more quickly than margin calls are made, however, and therefore the danger is that by the time the closeout has been calculated, the £1 million that you have already called for is not enough to cover your losses. And therefore, initial margin is the extra amount that you ask for from your counterparty as security against that sort of buffer.
Right. So what do we mean when we say phase six Reg IM?
So phase six refers to the phase-in program under EMIR and indeed the global rules for the introduction of regulatory initial margin. These rules require counterparties to derivatives to post initial margin on a segregated basis, meaning that, for example, initial margin cannot be used by the other party. This contrasts with how margin has traditionally been exchanged between parties to derivatives transactions, which is that the derivative counterparties will exchange margin in a way that the receiving counterparty can actually make use of the collateral, either that is by title transfer under English law or by a right of rehypothecation under New York law. However, these rules under the new IM regime requires it be segregated. The rules also touch upon various other things, operational procedures, concentration limits, eligibility criteria, and the timing and methodology for calculation. The phases specifically refer to the timing under which these were brought into effect. So those counterparties with the biggest portfolios started a few years back. And while some buy-side entities are caught by the more recent phases, a lot more are going to be caught by phase six. And this is because the threshold under which you are caught is reduced to 8 billion euros worth of notional amount of your uncleared OTC derivatives. By contrast, phase five that kicked in the 1st of September this year caught people who traded 50 billion euros or more. And the previous year, phase four was 750 billion.
Right. OK. And what's the background to these rules? Why were they made in the first place?
So this all goes back to the financial crisis and, I guess, Lehman's collapse. And in analysing what went wrong, in Pittsburgh in 2009, the G20 came up with a list of things that they wanted to see remedied or see improved. In relation to OTC derivatives, the European Commission in particular came up with a statement under which they said how they were going to reduce systematic counterparty and operational risk in the market. It was seen by various people that the OTC derivatives had been, if not the cause of, had accelerated the financial crisis, particularly the lack of transparency and the fact that a lot of things were being done on an uncollateralized basis. So that sparked the G20 statement and the EC's response at the time. And EMIR is the result of that response. EMIR is broadly divided into three areas. It covers clearing, it covers reporting of transaction, and a sort of bucket of obligations for uncleared derivatives called risk mitigation. The regulatory IM rules fall into this last category. And actually, it's not just a European thing. This is all being done under the auspices of BCBS IOSCO, which is the Committee of Central Banks. And so you are seeing this across the US, you're seeing it in Canada, you're seeing it in Hong Kong, Singapore, and various other countries.
Okay. So if you're listening to this wondering if phase six applies to you, what should you be doing now?
So you should be doing a range of things in four broad steps. You should be identifying which of your entities are actually caught by the rules. As we said earlier, you need to be trading $8 billion worth of uncleared OTC derivatives by notional amount. If you're not, then you don't need to worry, although there are some slight quirks in the rules for groups and so on. You also need to identify whether your counterparties are caught, and in particular by which regime. There are various entities that will be caught by the European regime, by, of course, the UK regime, now that it is technically separate to the European one, albeit it is identical. And there are several regimes in the US that could apply. You then need to calculate, well, what actually are you going to post and receive? How are you going to segregate it? What collateral are you happy to get? And then finally, you're going to need to deal with the legal aspects. You're going to need to deal with putting in place all the arrangements, not least your arrangements for exchanging collateral, posting collateral with your counterparties, but also the operational documents, custody arrangements, calculation arrangements, and various similar documents. There's quite a lot to do.
Right. Well, we've got our work cut out for us. We're going to start with looking more closely at step one in that case, and I'm going to turn now to Alex. So first question, how do you determine whether you are actually caught by phase six?
Well, thanks, Chrissy. You will need to identify the relevant margin rules for your jurisdiction. So today we'll be discussing the rules laid down by EMIR, which are also relevant for UK counterparties by virtue of transposition under the European Union Withdrawal Act, so also known as UKMIR in that context. Then you will need to determine what type of counterparty you are, i.e. whether you are a financial counterparty, known as an FC, or a non-financial counterparty, known as an NFC, either above or below the relevant clearing thresholds. Those above known colloquially as an NFC plus, and those below an NFC minus. Or indeed an entity established in a third country, so known as a third country entity. For the purposes of EMIR or UKMIR, you only need to worry about whether you might be an FC, NFC plus, or one of certain categories of third country entities. So just by way of recap. FCs are regulated entities in the financial services, funds and insurance sectors, and include UCITS funds, alternative investment funds, also known as AIFs, established in the EU or UK respectively, or non-EU or UK AIFs, managed by an alternative investment fund manager, or AIFM, authorised or established in the EU or UK respectively. NFC pluses are all other EU or UK entities that exceed the relevant clearing thresholds laid down by EMIR. Third country entities are covered if they are facing an FC or an NFC plus, and they themselves would be FCs or NFC pluses if established in the EU or UK. Then you will need to check whether you are likely to exceed an average aggregate notional amount of uncleared OTC derivatives of 8 billion euros. To calculate your average aggregate notional amount, you will need to determine the total gross notional amounts of uncleared OTC derivatives outstanding on the last business day of each of March, April and May. And that will be in 2022 and each subsequent year too for phase six. It is really important to start thinking now about whether you are likely to exceed the threshold. It's worth noting that this is not the same methodology as calculating whether you exceed the clearing thresholds, i.e. it is different to the clearing obligation calculation. Also worth noting is that the calculation methodology includes all non-centrally cleared OTC derivatives, and both counterparties need to exceed the average aggregate notional amount for the Reg IM obligation to apply.
Right, okay, so lots to think about there. So assuming you've done all of that and you've concluded that actually you are caught by phase six, step two requires you to look at your counterparty. How do you determine whether your counterparties are caught?
Well, first of all, note that Reg IM only needs to be posted if both parties are caught. So it's worth checking any ISDA self-disclosure letter delivered by your counterparty, or carry out your own outreach program to establish their status. The ISDA self-disclosure letter is intended to provide a standard form for market participants to communicate certain information needed to determine which trading relationships are subject to Reg IM and how initial margin calculations must be performed. You may also wish to complete your own ISDA self-disclosure letter if you have not already done so. It's worth remembering, of course, that almost all sell-side entities will be caught already by Reg IM rules. And finally, if neither you nor your counterparty are EU or UK entities or relevant third country entities, as discussed earlier, and the EMIR or UK MIR rules do not apply, as Will touched on earlier, remember that the rules of another jurisdiction could still bite.
Right. No one is ever off the hook. Well, thank you very much, Alex, and thank you, Will, for your time today. That concludes our first episode. But please do join us for episode two, which is going to look more closely at the documentation and custody aspects that Will mentioned earlier. And of course, if you'd like to find out anything more about anything we've covered in this episode, our note on this topic is available on the McFarlane's website. Thank you very much.